Well, may the glory be to Christ in this brand new year. Someone has wisely said, for the believer in Jesus, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And that's so true. One of the keys to moving forward by faith is that we learn from the past, and our hearts are constantly looking to God to teach us, to correct us, to show us His way. Hindsight's 20/20. Have you figured that one out? You know, we always can look back and say, boy, I wish I'd done it this way. And the longer we live, the more of that we have. I also like the statement that though we cannot teach from error, we can teach from corrected error. And there's a lot of things in our lives, because we're sinners, saved by grace, sustained by grace, we keep learning throughout our entire life how to follow God's path by faith, how to live out our life as we ought to. And of course, we know we should be listening to God every day and making those corrections on a daily basis, so God doesn't have to, as it were, get our attention. We're listening, and our attention is readily given to God because we've set our heart toward the Lord. But looking back, I can definitely look at my life and times in my life where I was not attuned. I wasn't listening. I had accepted Christ in my youth, but during some of those teen years, I wasn't setting my heart to listen to God daily. And I look back and I regret that. I can learn from that, and that corrected error in my life. Part of it was, as a teenager, I just wanted to have friends. I wanted friends. That's just a natural thing. We all like to have friends. And so I was right here in this same church back. It was over on Cherry Street and in the day. And I had some friends, and they were guys who said they were Christians. But I knew very well they were not committed to Christ. They weren't seeking to follow after Christ, but they were a lot of fun to be with. And so I chose to have a close friendship. Well, we're influenced by close friendships, aren't we? And so the sad thing was, these guys were going in the wrong direction. And rather than me taking a strong stand and pulling them in the right direction, I allowed them to influence me in the wrong direction. And looking back on that, I regret that. And I realized I needed some spiritual growth in my life. I needed to get to that point where I would realize, Jesus, you're my best friend. And if I don't have any other friend in the world, you're enough. And I can stand with you, and then you'll bring the right kind of friends into my life. But I wasn't at that place. I was kind of wanting to walk the fence. And I love the Lord, but I still wanted to kind of cling to friends who really didn't love the Lord and weren't living that out. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 15 that says, don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We'd say it in today's English. We would simply say bad company corrupts or ruins good morals. And it took some time for me to figure out that rather than taking my strong stand for my best friend being Jesus, I was allowing my friends to pull me, to influence me in the wrong direction. My own heart wasn't really surrendered to Jesus Christ as it needed to be. Well, we've all made some foolish choices at times. And as we look back, we regret periods in our life that in many ways were wasted because we weren't sincerely following after God with all of our heart. And for those times in our life, hopefully we have learned and we're learning to take responsibility and to go to God and confess to God, I was wrong. Lord, will you forgive me? And where by our life and by our influence, we affect other people the wrong way, that we would do the same thing, that we would take responsibility, ask for forgiveness, and then move forward by faith. Well, God in His grace shows us how to walk wisely. And I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 1, the doorway to the wisdom literature of 150 chapters in the Psalms. I love the Psalms. And the Psalms are like songs and prayers focused in on how to have a right relationship with God, how to worship God, how to praise God, how to know God intimately. And this psalm, first of all, I want to see from Scripture, teaches us two paths and two destinations. Very different. Two different paths, two different destinations. And I want you to see that from God's Word today so that you and I here in this new year will choose wisely the right path. And I believe that's why God put this right here at the opening door of the Psalms. He wants us to choose wisely the best and the right path. Familiar verses, but they certainly speak to us today. Verse 1 of Psalm 1, blessed is the man, the individual, the believer, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And you've noticed before, as we've talked about this passage, that there's a progression downward. The wise person, the person who says, I want to take the path of faith and faithfulness. By God's grace, my commitment is to believe in God, to believe in His Word, to believe in His Son, and I want to take that path of faith. I want to take the path of faithfulness. Well, here's the first thing we learn about the person who chooses that path. That person needs the moral strength to say no to the wrong path. Okay? There's a progression here. The wise person of faith is willing to say, no, I won't walk, stand, or sit. Okay? Do you see the progression there in the passage? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So it just starts with casual friendships with people who are ungodly. But then, if we don't say no to the wrong things that will surface in those relationships, we'll find ourselves standing with that crowd. And then eventually, we'll find ourselves sitting with that crowd and becoming one of them. We become the scornful. We sit in the seat of the scornful. We become like the people we hang out with. Now, the Bible's not telling us to isolate ourselves, and we shouldn't witness to lost people and try to build relationships and win them to Christ. But it's talking about who's influencing whom, okay? And so, where do you have the leverage? Well, when you are above and someone's below you, they've got the leverage. It's a whole lot easier for them to pull you down than you to pull them up. And so we have to think about this, that means though we want to be friends with everybody, we'd love to everybody love us, there are a lot of ungodly people. And they're going to walk in the wrong path, they're going to stand with the wrong crowd, and they're going to sit down with the scornful. And if we don't have the moral courage to say, no, I'm not going that direction, then we will be influenced by that crowd. So in understanding the path of the faith, the path of the faithful, the very first thing we see is it takes a requirement in our own life to have moral courage to stand with God and say no. Blessed is the one who says no to the downward pull of an ungodly world. Now, I want you also here to see verse 2. When you leave something out of your life, hey, it's a lot of fun. Some of those friends, they were a blast to be with. And then as I watched, as years went on and they continued down that path, their lives self-destructed. But they sure had a lot of fun. The Bible says, avoid the pleasures of evil for a season. It's not that there's no fun out in a sinful lifestyle. There is, okay? Otherwise, people wouldn't be drawn into it. It's just that where it ends is not fun. And where it leads is not happy. And it's not joyful. It leads to broken hearts and broken relationships. So when you leave something out and you say, okay, yes, I want this path of the faith and the faithful, and I will be willing to say, I am not going to allow myself to be influenced by the downward path of ungodly people, then you can't be a vacuum. You've got to fill your life up with something else. What is that something else? Well, it's in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, in God's word, in your relationship with God. And in his law doth he meditate, habitually thinks upon, day and night. He's murmuring scripture. She's murmuring scripture in her heart all day long. This is the picture here of saying no to the wrong, but yes to the right. I'm going to fill my life up with an intimate relationship with God and with his son Jesus and with the Holy Spirit who indwells me. Well, this requires then that we saturate ourselves with scripture. His delight is in the law of the Lord. How do I get to know God? Through his love letter, the Bible. And so the serious Christian is serious about knowing God through scripture. They are serious about daily walking with God, listening to God through the Bible, talking to God through prayer. And so as we intentionally listen to God, we're listening to him speak, he fills our heart up. He gives us a joy that isn't just transitory, but it's a joy that can last even in the midst of difficult times. We are saturating our soul with Scripture. Why? Because we believe the Bible. And we realize that the Bible says that's the way you get to know God. You get to know Him by saturating your soul with Scripture. Now, there's a promised blessing when we do that. It's here in Psalm 1, blessed is the person, verse 1. It's found in Revelation 1, verse 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein. Blessed, blessed. God is saying, I want to bless you. I want to be the source of your blessing. I want to be the source of your joy. I want to be the source of your happiness, true happiness in life. Now, look at what else is going to happen. Verse 3. As we commit to be blessed of God, I want to be in the place of blessing. Therefore, I'm going to saturate my soul with Scripture and get to know God intimately. Verse 3. He or she shall be like a tree. Now, my dad had us memorize these verses when we were kids, and so we would do it with the motions. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, those are good verses, aren't they? Those are good verses to have your family memorize with the motions, I would suggest. All right, so here's the blessing. You are going to be blessed, the Bible says. What a wonderful life. What a wonderful path. The path of faith and faithfulness. This is what God is telling us. But in these same short six verses, another path is laid out. And we've already got a glimpse of it. And that's the path of faithlessness, the path of unfaithfulness, the path of unbelief. Remember in verse 1, we got a glimpse of it, that the righteous person who chooses to walk with God in the path of faith says no to the wrong path. And that wrong path is a progressive path that goes downward. It's wrong counsel. That's what you think. It's wrong standing. That's wrong actions. It's wrong habits. That's sitting. And it's wrong character and destiny. And that's what we'll see in this psalm. You see, when you think about it, this is a principle in life. When you sow a thought, you'll reap an action. That's why you don't look at pornography. Because you sow that thought, it will reap an action. It'll reap an action. You sow that into your heart and soul, it'll wreck you. It'll destroy you. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, and you'll reap a habit. It'll become just part of you. You sow a habit and you reap a character. That's what you are. And you sow a character and you reap a destiny. Well, how do you avoid then that downward path? Because we're all sinners and we're all prone to be pulled that path just by our own sinful flesh. We need a new birth, don't we? We need to be born again and have God's Spirit come to live in us. We need to repent of our sins. To God and say, save me, save my soul, and send your Holy Spirit to live in me, that I would have new life, the life of Christ in me. And then once we are born again, we need to feed that new nature. We need to feed on the Word of God daily. And so Psalm 1 is telling us about the ungodly path. What does it look like? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So it pictures the person, they may be a billionaire, but spiritually speaking, their life is worthless. There is no eternal value to what they believe or do or influence on others. They're worthless spiritually. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 5. So those who choose unbelief and choose to just go their own way and do their own thing, they are guilty before a holy God, as we sang about this morning. They will stand guilty at his judgment for their unconfessed sin and their unforsaken sin in their life. Verse 6 reminds us, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so this perishing speaks of spiritually being separated from God. A just punishment from a holy God that will be endured for eternity. Well, we sometimes tend to think in our humanness, I can cover up my sin, nobody will see it, nobody will know how foolish we are, because we know from the Bible that God counts the hairs of our head and he sees when the sparrow falls, and he knows exactly what's going on in our motives as well as in our actions. We can con some people, but we will never fool God. Proverbs 28 tells us, he who covers his sin will not prosper. Isn't that exactly what Adam and Eve did? They covered. But he who confesses and forsakes will find mercy. And so the joy comes when we get clean with our sin. But boy, that takes a humility, doesn't it? That takes a grace from God to humble ourselves before God. And so we need to see the danger of the wrong path. It leads the wrong direction. Now let's look at the destination of God's joy and contentment and favor. Let's remind ourselves of what these verses are teaching. On the positive side, blessed is the person. Blessed. That word speaks of a contentment, a joy, a peace, a favor from God that comes into our lives. This person says no to the wrong practices. They practice biblical separation. They separate from sin. His delight's in the law of the Lord. They say yes to Scripture. They saturate their life with Scripture daily. And then the result is all these blessings in verse 3. They become like this tree planted by the river of rivers of water. So a tree by a source is going to be stable. Whatever comes, it's got its roots down there next to soil that is well nourished, filled with water. And so this river, the river of God's Holy Spirit lives in us. And as we put our roots down into Christ daily and into his word, we become stable. We become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And then it says, his leaf doesn't wither. God sustains us. Circumstances go up and down. Stock market goes up and down. Health problems go up and down. But we're sustained spiritually. Our leaf doesn't wither. We bear fruit. We bear fruit from God. We bring forth fruit. This is what the Bible says. And as we study the subject of fruit in the Bible, it's a wonderful subject. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Rather than that fleshly reacting to each other in our marriages and homes and in relationships, that selfishness, that jealousy, that pride, there comes love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and self-control. That's fruit. That's God doing that in us. There's the fruit of giving. We want to give back to God. There's the fruit of our lips, praise to the Lord. There's the fruit of serving God with our gifts and our talents. There's the fruit of others' influence toward God and coming to faith in Christ. There's all kinds of fruit that God wants to bear in each of our lives. The fruit of having an assurance, I know where I'm going when I die. And I know that heaven is my home. That is fruit. So there is a destination of blessing for those who choose the right path, those who choose the path of faith and faithfulness. Let's look now at the destination in a little more detail of the worthless, the destination of worthlessness and eternal judgment. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, they're like the chaff the wind drives away. They won't stand in the judgment. God knows their way, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, an analogy from agriculture is being used here. In Bible times, the grain was separated from the shell or the husk by threshing or winnowing. So they would cut the plants and then they would crush by a threshing sledge. Pieces then were thrown up into the air and the slightest wind would catch the chaff and it would be blown away, the worthless part. The good grain was heavy. It would fall back down to the ground. So that's the picture that's being given here. Well, chaff pictures the faithless life, the person who just drifts along through life without worth or direction. The Bible progressively reveals to us what is the end of those who choose the path of unbelief. Jesus spoke to unbelievers in Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Now, the same Greek word is used to describe eternal punishment and eternal life. The Bible speaks of no annihilation or second chance after physical death. The punishment of unbelievers lasts as long as the reward of believers. Daniel taught the same thing in Daniel 12:2. Some are raised to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so again, the same everlasting is used in both cases. The New Testament clarifies that when the rich man died, he immediately was in an interim body where he could speak, communicate, feel, and touch. But the Bible also then teaches an ultimate final resurrection of all believers and unbelievers into a body that's adapted for eternity, the eternity that's set for us by the choice we make in this life, either to believe or not believe. In Revelation 20:10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So did you get that? God says the punishment itself is everlasting. Unbelievers are subject to conscious suffering and punishment of the all-holy God for all eternity. God's punishment for sin is just, and those who choose the path of unbelief bear the responsibility of their rejection of God's word, of their own God-given conscience, of God's witness in creation, of God's Son. And I appreciate these quotes. Someone said it this way, worried about dying, don't. You will live somewhere forever. All you have to worry about is location, location, location. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. The best gift you could ever give to your parents or your mate or your family or the people you love is that they know that you have a relationship with God. Not just that you say it, but they see a changed life. They see a changed heart. They see a changed direction by the working of the Holy Spirit in you, a new birth. That's the best gift you can ever give. This world is temporary. Heaven and hell is forever. Someone else put it this way. There's absolutely nothing more important in your life right now than making sure you know Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? There's nothing more important than that, that you know Jesus Christ. Well, we've looked at the two paths and the two destinations. Now let's focus in on God's best success for God's joy in your life, his contentment, his favor, by the scripture saturation of your soul. Let's zero in on this together. Look with me at this thought. My parents wrote this in my Bible when I was a boy and a teenager, and I still have that Bible. I cherish that. They wrote this statement, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." Oh man, is that true? And I've proven that out in my life. I remember my dad saying, as a born-again Christian, he experienced it. He said, "If I miss my time with God in the Word intimately for one day, I know it. I sense it in my soul. If I miss it for 2 days, my wife knows it. If I miss it for 3 days, the whole world knows it." And what he's basically saying is, if you go without food, your body will tell you you need food. And if you're a born-again Christian, you have a new nature. You can't get along very well without God's word sustaining you daily. It doesn't mean you can't be a Christian, but it means you're not going to be a growing Christian. You're not going to be a thriving Christian. And we need to grow to that point where we can't get along without God's word, because we're walking with a heart that desires to be saturated with scripture and saturated with truth from God. Now that thing, that little statement my parents wrote in my Bible, it's biblically based. Psalm 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The word of God is what cleanses you, and it keeps you from messing up. That's what God says in the Bible. And so it's true. It's so true. So the word will keep you from sin. The Bible, the scripture, will direct you. In Joshua 1:8, Moses was about to pass the baton to Joshua. And he knew there were going to be a lot of challenges. And we're going to have challenges in this new year. And these verses are for you and for me. He said to him, "This book of the law, the scripture, shall not depart out of thy mouth." That is, you should take it in and murmur it all day long. Keep it. Keep it in your heart. "You shall meditate, read on it, think on it, apply it day and night, that you may observe, be careful to do it, to do everything that's in God's word. Seek to follow it with all your heart. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God promises success to people who will meditate daily in his word. Do we have enough spiritual sense to grab that promise and say, "I'm going to apply that to my life"? I don't want to come to the end of my life and say, "I missed it." I want to apply that from this day forward in my life. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God will direct you. Now, how many times in a day do you have to make decisions? I mean, it's just all the time you're making decisions. But the word-filled Christian, constantly when they have to make a decision, it's running through the computer. What does God's word say about this? What would God want me to do? What would Jesus do? And that becomes a way of thinking and making choices. And choices set direction, and direction set destiny. And so our whole direction changes when we meditate in God's word. Then you will have God's prosperity. Then you will have God's success in your life. Well, the Bible then brings good prosperity in verse 8. It's a promise from God. You will have God's success in your life. The Bible overcomes fear by instilling faith in God's presence and power. He said to Joshua in verse 9, "Haven't I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage." That is, be courageous. Be not afraid. Neither be dismayed. Don't be intimidated. Now catch this. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. He's with you. Do you ever feel fearful because you feel like you're all alone? Well, for the true believer in Christ, you're never alone. You know, you may feel alone, but you're not alone. If you're a true born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And so we're not to go into this new year with fear and with anxiety and being intimidated. He says, look, meditate in my word. Believe in me and be of good courage. Don't be intimidated. Fear thou not. I am with you always. Isn't that a great promise? That's my mom, after my dad died, she was filled with a lot of fear. This is one of the anti-fear verses. She wrote on 3x5 cards and put all over the house, over her kitchen sink and on a refrigerator. So whenever those fear feelings would come, she'd say, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. What great verses these are. What great truths these are that we can take home to our own soul. So the Bible directs us. It brings prosperity and success. It helps us to overcome fear by instilling faith in God's promises and in God's presence and in God's person. What a great realization it is when the Holy Spirit brings it home to your heart, not to your parents' heart or to your aunt's heart, to your heart. God is with me. Christ is in me. Christ is here to live through me. I'm not on my own. Wow, what a blessing that is. It's not to say you're not going to have difficult times. It's not going to say there'll be never times when your emotions dive because you're human and you hear bad news and your heart falls. But you rush to Scripture. You rush to the promises of the God who never changes, and your spirit is lifted. You're strengthened in all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible then gives stability and sustainability. See that in verse 3 of Psalm 1? You're like this tree planted by the river of water. The roots are going down deep, and it's always got the nourishment it needs. No matter what happens, a storm may come. You may lose some branches, but you're not going to fall. Why? You're sustained. You're sustained. That's the picture here. And not only are you stable and sustained, but you're successful. Whatever he does will prosper. Does that mean that everything will be perfect and every day will be sunshine? No. But it means God will give his success to you. God gave strength to Job to go through some really tough times, and he came through them to the glory of God. He came through them. And so that's the point, is that you will have God's success in your life, which is eternal success, and that's what we need. The Bible gives success in all you do. Verse 3, we meditate in his word, and whatever we do will prosper. This is true success. Now, your body, my body, physically, needs air. We need food and water. You wouldn't suspect or expect to live very long if you just quit eating and drinking. You say, oh, that won't work, okay? I know that. Well, then how do you expect to grow spiritually if you don't sustain your soul on the milk of the word, the water of the word, the bread of the word, the meat of the word? It isn't going to work. If you don't sustain your soul on spiritual food, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. You will not make it. That's the principle. 1 Peter 2 tells us this. As newborn babies, desire or long for the sincere, pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, that you might be nurtured spiritually. And so parents, adults, young people, singles in this church body, let me encourage you, unless providentially hindered, let's make a commitment. Lord, I'm not going to see how little of God's word I can get in my life. I'm going to see how much of God's word I can get in my life. I'm going to be in his word for myself, for my own soul daily. And then come the day of resurrection, first day of the week when the early church gathered, I'm going to be here. Unless providentially hindered, I'll be here for Sunday school and the march through the gospel project, Genesis to Revelation. I'll be here for worship. I'll be back once we get here in a couple weeks back to our Sunday night schedule. We'll have our discovery classes and things for the youth. I'll find a life group where I can discuss the Bible. I just want to get as much of God's word into my soul as I possibly can. As you make that choice, you're listening to the wisdom counsel of God himself spoken through the psalmist here in Psalm 1 and by Peter, who told us to hunger after the word of God that we could grow. Jesus is the living word. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And as we feed on him, he's the exclusive way to God, then our soul will be maintained and sustained. Now, here's how I'd like us to wrap up our thoughts today. I think this is great for the first Sunday of a new year. It's kind of be thinking, where am I headed in my own life spiritually in this new year? So the third thing I'd like us to look at, we've looked at God's best success of his joy and contentment and favor that come by being scripture saturated. Let's now look at the application of God's success plan. Here's his plan. He already showed us there's two paths, and they end up in two different places. Now make your choice. Where do you want to end up? Now, if you choose wisely God's path, then here are the depths of the riches, the blessings that are going to come in your life. And here are the difficulties that will come if you don't. Now let's say, okay, by God's grace, I choose God's path. I want to choose wisely. And I want to choose what God is teaching me here in the scripture. Let's talk about how you and I can apply this into our lives, his plan for success. First thing I want to remind you of is something we've spoken of here before, but I want to remind you. Put the big rocks of your daily priority in the jar first. Remember the illustration? The teacher gets up and he has a big glass jar and he fills it all up with rocks and then he asks the class, is this jar full? Yes, it's full. Well, then he, from under the counter, which they didn't see earlier, pulls out a bunch of pebbles and he pours them all in. Of course, they fall in all the cracks there. And is it full now? Well, some of them are kind of thinking, okay, what's next? And they're not going to raise their hand. Someone says, oh, yeah, sure, it's full now. And then from under the counter, he pulls out some sand. And he pours the sand in. And it fills in more cracks. And then, is it full now? He's got most of them. But a few of them, they say, oh, the other shoe's going to drop. And so sure enough, from under the counter, he pulls out water. And he fills it up with water. Is it full now? Well, finally, he says, okay, what's the lesson of this that I've just shown you? And one student raises his hand and says, you can always add something more in your life. Well, no, there are limits. No, that wasn't the lesson I'm after. What's the lesson? Well, the lesson is you got to put the big rocks in first. You'll never get them in later if you don't put them in first. You've got to put the big rocks in first. Now, the wise person is in their Bible and they're listening to God and they're figuring out what the big rocks are wisely. They're saying there are things that are just temporal and it's going to pass away. There are other things that are eternal. And my relationship with God is eternal. And my relationship with other people has eternal influence and impact. Those are big rocks. I'm going to love God with all my heart and soul. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. And those are big rocks. I'm putting those in first. If I don't get anything else done in a given day, those rocks are getting in. Do you get the idea? Put the big rocks in first. Get intentional about this. That's one of the application principles. Here's another one. Think about this with me. Not only do we put the big rocks in first, but we give God the first of our time by faith. How do you spell love? Well, you spell love T-I-M-E. Okay? Think about that for a minute. What you really love, you give time to, right? If you love shopping, what do? You give time to it. If you love eating, what do? You give time to it. You know, if you love hunting or fishing or hobbies, what do? You give time to it, right? If you love somebody, what do? You give time to them. You give time to them. That's how you spell love. Okay, so we say, I know I should love God more. I want to love God more. How do I grow to love God more? I give more time to be with God, to hear his voice through the scripture and to talk to him through prayer. I'm going to give time to this. This is going to be a big rock that goes in the jar first. We saturate our soul with scripture. We spend time listening to God, getting his viewpoint, and then talking to God and praying to him about the things he's shown us. And he shows us, here's what I want. The first commandment is that you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. And we say, okay, God, I want to learn to love you. Teach me to love you more. And as we get to know him through the scripture and pray to him, we begin to love him more and more and more. That's God's will for our life. Now, let's talk about application. Get it practical. Something as simple as reading one chapter of the Bible a day can take 5 to 10 minutes. All right? Do you have 5 to 10 minutes? Well, chew on that for a minute. Let me give you a few more statistics, okay? If you would read one chapter a day, you would read through the whole New Testament in 9 months. So you'd be through your whole New Testament this year in 5 to 10 minutes a day. If you read one chapter of the Bible a day, you'd get through the whole Bible in around 3 years. Well, how does reading the Bible for 5 to 10 minutes compare with what Americans do? Well, a recent survey from 2021 said that only 11% of Americans read the Bible daily. Only 11%. So that would tell us right here in our own crowd, there's a small percentage of people who are committed and serious about this to where they read their Bible daily. But I want you to think about it and make some comparisons. And I'm not here to judge, I'm here to encourage, because I've been there on both sides of this of not doing it and then coming to the point where I realized this isn't a luxury, this is an essential for a growing Christian. In 2019, the total average time spent watching TV per day of viewers aged 15 and older was right about 3 hours. People over 65, it's well over 4 hours. People in their 20s, 25 to 30, that's about 2 hours. And so people spend an average, overall average, of a couple hours, and some more and some less, 2 to 3 hours, and some many more, on TV. And that's not a sin. There can be good things on TV and bad things on TV. I'm just trying to get you to think through your priorities of your time usage. Now, in addition, people who choose to be on social media, which isn't everybody here, but it's a lot of people here. Okay, people who are on social media average 2.5 hours a day on social media. So you may be not that much, or you may be more, or you may be less, but it's a big chunk of time. All right, so in view of what we commit to with our TVs, what we commit to with our social media, which both can be used for good or for bad, I want to encourage us. Let's get serious about saturating ourselves in Scripture. Amen? Let's get serious about this. If you shoot for the moon, you may hit a telephone pole, but you need a goal. You need to set a goal of getting alone with God daily. I needed that in my life, and I still do to this day. I need that. I need that desperately. So here's my encouragement to all of us. Get a Bible reading plan and stick with it. Get a Scripture reading plan. I told you, I've got one. And here at the end, I'm almost to the end of it. I got a little bit yet, and I'm going to finish it up. There's enough. I can do this. I got sick a couple times, but I keep a marker, and I just keep picking up where I left off. I don't get down on myself if I miss a day, but I know I need it, and I want to come back. And I like, once I start something, I like to finish it. So I've got a little finishing up to do this next week, and then I'm going to start afresh for this next year. But get a plan. It doesn't have to be my plan, but let the Spirit of God lead you to a realistic plan that gets you into your Bible and a time with God daily. Here are some encouragements. By reading the Scripture daily, you're taking your stand that I want to turn my heart toward God and His plans for my life. You're letting Him renew your mind, to direct your steps, to impact everything in your life. Is the Bible relevant today? Absolutely. It is filled with insights inspired by God Almighty of the human condition that's just as true today as the day it was written The Bible alone explains the original plan of God and how it was corrupted. It explains how God has provided for our restoration, our salvation through Christ. The message of faith has never changed. You need it today as much as anyone's ever needed it. Use helps and good study Bibles to maximize hearing God's voice in practical ways. Out in the gallery, we have copies of the Daily Bible, where it'll give you an assigned Old Testament passage, New Testament, Psalm, and Proverb for the date. So you know right where you are. If you get behind, you still know right where you are. And you just keep your marker and you keep going. And so I love it. That's the one I'm using. And I love it, and I highly recommend it. It has blessed my heart. It's got commentary notes along the way, and you'll learn so much. You'll grow so much using it. But there are other tools. And I have a picture was sent to me of Doug Dale's Daily Bible. And mine looks about like his. Now, he's home in heaven. But those of you who knew Doug went home to heaven this last year. Whenever you're around Doug, Scripture just flowed out of him. Scripture flowed out of him. Why? He was intentional. He had lots of hobbies, and he's a well-balanced guy. But he loved God, and he loved his Bible, and he wore that thing out. And so get yourself a good study Bible that'll give you helps and insights and dig into it and go for it. We've got copies of it out there at the Welcome Center, as well as the Resource Center as other resources. Another Bible I love and use much is the Life Application Bible. I got copies of that and gave them to some of our sons because it just so practical. It helps you to understand, how does this apply to my life? And so we've put in your sermon notes information about how you can go online or come to the church office, and we'll help you to get hold of a good study Bible. We also have some lime green little booklets out there that take the Bible reading plan, Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, Psalm, that you can use with any Bible. And you can then just follow through and check it off as you go and get through your Bible with the intent that I'm not just checking something off, but I want the full mind of God. I want God to show me. Now, if reading through the whole Bible, that's going to take you maybe 15, 20 minutes. And you say, I can't sustain that. Then start with just the New Testament and Proverbs and Psalms. Start where you are going to maintain it. And you'll find that as you do that, your hunger will grow and you'll want more. You'll want more of God's word as you sustain your soul on God's word. You will grow, and God will grow you. Learn to talk to God from the heart in response to what he shows you. Have a time of prayer. We'll be talking more about that in our series on The Best Is Yet to Come. And then prove God's promises in your own life. He promised to bless you. Well, take him at his word and say, God, I want to prove you on this. And you watch, God will prove you. He will prove himself faithful. I've shared this story in different versions, but I'll just tie it in with what we've said here this morning. When I was a college student in a Christian college, wisely, by God's grace, encouragement of my parents, I knew I needed godly shaping influences, and so I chose to go to a Christian college. I'm so glad I did. That helped me. And if you're in a secular college, all the more you need to be locked into a good local church where there are people your age that you can grow with and share with and talk with, as well as people older and younger that you can minister. Well, while I was there, I started to grow. Good influences around me. I started to grow like I hadn't grown before in my life. But I was still on the line about this. Am I going to make the commitment to daily make time to saturate my soul with Scripture? I was here in chapel. I was hearing good things in Bible class. It was coming from external, but would I adjust my schedule? Because I love to get my sleep. And a busy college schedule, the only way this was going to work is I was going to have to get up a little early. And I don't do that except to go hunting or fishing, you know? And so I went out one night, and the Lord led me. I heard a guy preach on getting to know Jesus intimately by daily time in his word. And all of a sudden, my eyes open up, and I say, yeah, I need to do that. Duh. My parents had only been teaching me that all my life. But, okay, it was the teachable moment. And so I said, I want that. I want an intimate relationship with God. And so I set a time and a place, set my alarm, and I started getting up every morning in time to listen to God through the Bible, talk to God through prayer. I could not believe how the God I knew by faith as my Savior became so much more real to me. I was now talking to him every day, and he was talking to me. And I said, oh, silly me. God's been there all the time. I'm the one that's been missing these appointments. And I began to grow, and a new peace and joy and purpose began to flow into my life. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are so patient with real thick-headed people like me. And you know what? I still need that same love and intensity. I need that same commitment today to grow, to know him, to saturate my soul with God's word. In light of what we've read, do you get the picture? You have a choice of which path and which destiny. But even on the right path, you can miss many of God's greatest blessings. God is inviting you to saturate your soul with Scripture. Don't miss out on his best. Saturate your soul with Scripture. Figure out what that means for you. Set your time, your place. It's not just a time or place. It's a daily faith relationship with God where you're thinking on his word all through the day. But it's a whole lot easier to keep a fire going that's been started. Start that fire in your life. It is spirit-led with you and God to meet daily. And you watch the blessings that will come as you take Psalm 1 and say, I want to prove this in my life. And I'm going to take God at his word. And I'm going to believe the promise that saturating my soul with Scripture will lead to God's success and blessing. And I'm going to believe God for that. And I'm going to step out by faith. I pray you'll take that challenge because it's not my challenge. It's God's challenge from Psalm 1.